This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matt Wells. In this week's programme, Jocelyn Sambira reports from inside one of Uganda's refugee camps, swelling by the day with South Sudanese fleeing war and famine. And the head of the UN mission in the Central African Republic tells us peacekeepers are doing their utmost to prevent further sectarian massacres there. But first, although famine's eased in South Sudan, the number of people struggling to find food is still going up, UN agencies and their partners warned on Wednesday. More than 6 million people are now facing hunger, largely due to conflict, up from 4.9 million in February, representing the highest level of food insecurity that the country has ever experienced. Serge Tissot is the Food and Agriculture Organization's representative in South Sudan. Speaking on the line from the capital, Juba, he told Sandra Ferrari what lay behind the surge in numbers.
If you consider only people facing famine, we have an improvement of the situation due to the massive support to this population. But we have still a situation that looks like famine for many people.
What has triggered this surge in numbers?
The main reason is the deterioration of the security in many locations. In the past, we had only three states on the conflict. Now we have problem of security quite everywhere in South Sudan. So we have new location where people are leaving the village. So we have less farmer growing crops, so less food available. That's in general everywhere where we have a conflict. But you have also indirect impact of the conflict where people rely only on the market. As there is less food available in the countries, there is less food available on the market. So people have a lot of problem to find food in those locations, even if there was no direct conflict. And due to the current economical situation and the inflation, people are not even able to purchase what's available on the market. So now we are facing a situation where more than 50% of the population needs humanitarian assistance.
With many still relying on humanitarian assistance, what are the UN agencies in the country offering in terms of support right now?
For the time being, we are providing, of course, a lot of food because we are between the planting season and between the harvest season. So there is no food yet available in the plot. So, of course, FAO, we have finished the distribution of seeds and tools. We will continue to distribute vegetable seeds in area where it has not been possible to distribute crop seed. We have distributed a lot of fishing equipment in the swamp where security is good enough for them to go to fishing. And we have also an important program for livestock vaccination and treatment because it provides also access to milk and access to meat where it's possible. It's important to maintain some livelihood opportunity to those people.
That was Serge Tissot speaking there to Sandra Ferrari. Well, Uganda has been hosting a solidarity summit this week with the support of the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres amid a fast-growing refugee crisis in the country. A mass exodus from South Sudan's roughly doubled the refugee population in the East African nation to over 1.2 million. Jocelyn Sambira has been in Uganda on special assignment for UN News and visited one of the refugee camps, which is filling up fast.
A bright green coach carrying refugees from South Sudan has just pulled into the reception center at the Mvepi camp in northern Uganda's Arua district. Children press their faces against the window of the vehicle that is covered in stickers and graffiti. The driver steps out, leaving two young aid workers with red vests inside. One of them is holding a clipboard while the other is handing out tickets to the passengers. As their names are called out, the passengers leave the bus one by one. The majority are women and children, as well as the elderly. The newcomers make their way towards a makeshift sink where they wash their hands before they begin the registration process. The first stop is at a tent run by UN partner organization Doctors Without Borders, known by its French acronym MSF. Where the refugees receive vaccinations, malnutrition screenings, and primary health care. Mary Opangi, A young woman from Yei Town in South Sudan is first in line. She was 9 months pregnant when she fled and gave birth after arriving at the Ugandan border.
Just we came there and my stomach started pain. That's why they take me to Arch.
Osman Shabani, the MSF medical team leader, explains the process as a nurse administers a drop of polio vaccine to Mary's baby.
So after being registered here, they'll get into our, these are for pregnant mothers, they'll get tetanus vaccine, which by then we used to give for childbearing age. But now, since we are running shortage of in the country, we try to specialize it only for pregnant mothers. The next step, what you're saying, is for polio and vitamin A for children between 0 months to 5 years.
The population fleeing to Uganda is expected to grow as violence and insecurity spreads in Africa's newest nation. The daily arrivals are putting a huge strain on the already meager resources available. Uganda's already opened its door to refugees from Sudan, Rwanda, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Somalia. With an average of 2,000 new arrivals each day, the country needs urgent and robust support to deal with the refugee crisis. Jocelyn Sambira, United Nations.
The war-weary people of the Central African Republic, or CAR, have no alternative but to rely on the UN and the international community to help forge a lasting peace. That's the firm belief of the head of the UN mission in CAR, MINUSCA, Parfe Onanga Anyanga, who said that without their support on the ground, another massacre or even genocide could have taken place. Violent clashes between Muslim and Christian armed groups in 2013 plunged the CAR into civil conflict, and despite successful elections last year, there's been a rise in attacks against civilians and UN peacekeepers in recent months. Mr. Onyanga Anyanga briefed the UN Security Council earlier this month and said MINUSCA's resolve to protect and serve the people was stronger than ever. He told Christina Silveiro that the upsurge in violence was a sign of chronic political instability.
Remember, the elections took place without a truly political process in the form of a peace agreement in the country. So which may indicate indeed that there are a number of core political issues that remain unresolved. The country itself, the president has established a dialogue process around the disarmament program that partners are supporting, and the UN is an important partner in this. And he has also made it very clear that DDR process will not be only a technical endeavor, but can be open to address broader political issues. So which is a welcome development. But we also have come to agree all together that this might not be enough. I'm not seeing any justification to so much brutality and awful killings of innocent people.
You've mentioned some of the efforts that are being led in terms of including dialogue in the DDR process or African Union initiatives. What do you think needs to be done concretely? What would you like to see happen concretely?
It's important to note, for example, that the committee established by the president, bringing together all the 14 armed groups, has been working. They have been meeting. But what we're saying is beyond these meetings, and these meetings should not be only for the sake of just going through the motions. And what must happen is that as these groups accept to go meet and talk, they should stop the killing. I do believe by mid-July, we must have a roadmap and we must come to some concrete agreements as to what needs to take place.
MINUSCA, the UN mission on the ground, has come under heavy criticism during this time. A lot of people are frustrated with its response, its ability to fulfill its mandate. How is this affecting the mission's resolve and its ability to bring peace and stability to the country?
In a way, has this criticism really affected us? There is no substitute, no alternative to what MINUSCA is providing. I mean, the real question is, where would be Central African Republic without MINUSCA? It's a huge complex problem. It's difficult because we share the frustration of the population, because nobody wants to live in peace tomorrow. People want to live peace today. And what I'm telling them is that you may help us to help you. And one of the ways of doing it would be to stop inflicting so much suffering to your own people.
Parfait Onyanga Anyanga, head of the UN mission in CAR, talking there to Christina Silveiro. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matt Wells.